everyone. This is the Women's Advocacy Club, and we wanted to get in touch with you guys with regards to the WAC Book Club. This is something new we decided to do this year because we've come across so many great books and so many great authors that we figured, hey, you know, why don't we, you know, attempt to get some book choices and then every month, you know, try to switch it up and then ask our fans and our members and leaders and collaborators to join us if they'd like. And the officers of the club agreed, and so here we are. So with that said, we basically picked our first book for January. And the book is called You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master the Mindset of Wealth. This is, and I, forgive me if I say this, the last name wrong, but it's Jen Sincero, I believe. And she's also the author of You Are a Badass, which I actually have both books, but we're focusing on the book that's geared towards making money. So this is Dr. Lena, by the way, and with me today is our WAC administrator. She is one of the officers. She's been with the Women's Advocacy Club for, I believe, 2 years or more?
2 years.
2 years. So she's here with us as well. I'll give her a chance to kind of introduce herself. Bianca, why don't you?
Hi, everyone. My name is Bianca, and we're here to review Are a Badass at Making Money today. I'm very excited to take a dive into this book. I'm not much of a book reader, but this one was really cool, so I thought I'd give it a chance.
Yeah, about that, like, reading books can be hard sometimes, and we're hoping that this will kind of motivate us and kind of give some optimism to the idea of spending time with yourself and reading. And what better way than to know, you know, your colleagues, your friends and members and leaders of our nonprofit charity are kind of coming together to empower women specifically by, you know, simply reading like empowerment books. So with that said, should we just like
first impressions?
Yeah, let's just, well, just so you guys know, we're probably going to break down talking about this book in, like, maybe a couple episodes. So we're not going to go over the entire book, but we are going to give you an idea of, like, what we read so far and what our thoughts are.
Fair? We're about a quarter in,
yeah.
Say.
Yeah, we're a quarter in. And there's, like, a total of, like, what, 13?
14, 15, I think. Chapters?
It's like 13 chapters, but then there's like activities, yeah. And like chapter 2 has 2 chapters like to it. So yeah, like I guess 12 chapters plus 2 or something, give and take. Yeah. But okay, so we're just going to dive in. B, what did you think? Like,
okay, so my impression of the book before even reading it, I know it's about making money, so I thought it was going to be more of, you know, how you can physically make money and what actions you can take to do that. But as I kept reading it, it's definitely more on an intrinsic level, and it's teaching you how to be in the mindset of making money and telling yourself that you're going to be successful rather than going and doing the actions for it first. So it's,
I get you.
Feel like it's definitely on a more of a self-care level basis rather than saying go apply to this job and then say this to that boss to get the job and do this and do that. It's more saying get yourself in the mindset and kind of be able to push your limits a little bit to go and get the life that you've always dreamt of.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of what Bianca just said, it's kind of like it's trying to say if you can't think it, how can you believe it? And if you can't think it and believe it, how can you do it? And I think the book so far that we've read is definitely, I mean, hence, it does pretty much say it in the title, Master the Mindset of Wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this just goes into the deepness of the psychology of money, and that we do have predisposed beliefs about money. And it's interesting because this does tie into, you know, childhood
mm-hmm.
and what we learned about money. And that's kind of what I kind of picked up on when I was reading the book, was how taboo talking about money is, hence the fact that we live in a society that is constantly fixated on classism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've talked about singleism with you guys, and a lot of our posts talk about, you know, we want to stop injustice and whatnot. And one of the things about discrimination is when there's a word that ends in ism. And so I think this book is really trying to dismantle the idea that just because you didn't come from money doesn't mean you are stuck in the class that you were born in, and that if you could change the mind of what your perception of being rich is and having money, then you can have the job you want, the
yeah.
car you want, the clothes you want. And I don't know, like, did you feel like she was trying to say, be materialistic?
No, I don't think she was saying be materialistic.
I didn't either.
She was kind of saying, if you're looking at other people's lives and you see one of your friends drives this car and has this big of a house, and you're saying to yourself, oh, I want that life, I don't think that's being materialistic. I think
yeah.
that's you wanting the best life for yourself.
Exactly. And you know what's funny? This ties into self-care.
Yeah.
Because this club
sure.
is definitely an advocate of many things, one of them being especially women doing self-care. And I don't mean self-care as in you look in the mirror and put mascara on and lipstick, which, you know, more power to you if you do. But we mean self-care in terms of making sure your life is in order. And by order, I would push forward the idea of basically having your finances in check is
mm-hmm.
self-care. Having,
yeah.
you know, your health and your wealth and your, you know, responsibilities and priorities in check, I think is part of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, you know, if I don't have the money to pay the bills that I need to pay,
mm-hmm.
how am I supposed to put the food that I need into my mouth? Like,
yeah.
it is all connected. And I think what she, the author Jen, does a great job of basically destroying the myth that having money makes you feel like you need to be guilty. Or
yeah.
the idea that, you know what, if my parents came from low middle class, which they did, they were working, they didn't have nearly half or a third of the education that I now have, which I say that with no judgment. I love them and praise them for how far they've come as immigrants into the United States and been able to give me the opportunities that they have. And Bianca, your parents, I think, are also immigrated here as well. But it's just trying to say, like, it's a myth to think that you have to be at the level
mm-hmm.
of income you are permanently. Like, there's
right.
nothing,
right.
you shouldn't feel guilt,
mm-hmm. right?
Is what I took away from Jen Sincero. Like, it sincerely felt like she was trying to say, why are we feeling guilty? And especially women.
Yeah.
When it comes to money, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, or oh, I don't have to accept that much money, or I'm willing to get a cut in my paycheck. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm blabbing. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I do want to say a quote from the introduction, which really made me think about a few different things. So the second page of the introduction, she says, "Have you been brave enough to read this book in public?"
Oof.
Which I think says a lot, because I think a lot of people have the mindset of, oh, if I read this book in public and people know that I'm reading a book of how to be successful and make money, they're going to think that I'm poor.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like that's the first step of you not being successful, because you are caring what other people say about you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it goes back to the mindset of, oh my gosh, people are going to judge.
Yeah.
What if people, you know, label me as not having money? Mm-hmm. Again, the classism,
right.
Like you're poor, mm-hmm. you don't have money, or you're struggling. I mean, honestly, who hasn't struggled
yeah.
before? Like, it's become like this secretive, like, okay, first of all, I just want to put it out there. I have struggled with money. I still struggle with money. And thank God for this book,
yeah.
because it's pushing me to think outside of the boundaries of and the limitations of what I think money means.
Yeah, and I think this book has a lot of benefits to people who don't know what they're doing in their life, or they are looking for some sort of push. And personally, everything she said in the book are things that I already know or have told myself, but that's only because I personally had a wake-up call a few years ago because of my life experiences. However, I think for people who haven't had a wake-up call in terms of they wake up and they know that this is what they want and they're going to do everything they can to get to their goal, I think this book is a great push for people to just put themselves out there and just say, this is my goal and I'm going to do what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
it's definitely like a go-getter,
yeah.
like, get out there, be active.
Yeah, and she actually quotes, I'm going to quote her in the introduction, and she says, "You can start making this change right now. All you need to do is wake up to what's holding you back, make new powerful choices about what you focus on, and smarten yourself about money, and go for it like you ain't never gone for it before."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely saying that, you know, you just need a wake-up call.
Yeah. You know what it is also, B, and everyone listening? Like, I feel like this book is hope.
Yeah.
Like, there is so, it's like hope. There's a lot of positive psychology. There's a lot of motivational speaking.
For sure.
I mean, she's phenomenal. And what was so powerful was how she kept saying, listen to your heart, listen to your intuition, to your gut, to your inner voice,
mm-hmm.
and don't let your subconscious of things that have happened to you, which I think, in other words, she's trying to talk about like traumas or
mm-hmm.
negative experiences,
yeah.
like don't let that control you. You know, and you are the only one that can get in between you and the opportunities to
right.
grow, especially financially, to become rich.
Right.
And, like, there was this part in the book where she literally was like, okay, I'm going to tell you what it means to be rich. And we need to stop thinking of the word rich as something negative.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, I get it. There might be celebrities out there, or there might be, excuse my language, assholes out there that have set like a negative tone to what it means to have money. But what she was trying to say is the bottom line is A, that doesn't define the rich
yeah.
community, and that B, just because those people set a negative tone doesn't mean you can't do good with money.
Right.
Did you find that part where it was like, think about it. If Women's Advocacy Club doesn't get donations and we don't have money, how can we, like, if I couldn't afford this book,
mm-hmm.
how could I do this podcast, right. which requires us to have internet and it requires us to have
yeah.
access to technology? I mean, she really made it practical. Like, if you don't have money, you can't aspire to do the things you love.
Yeah.
Think about that, you guys. Like, literally. Like, let's give you guys a 10-second pause. Okay, I'm going to count it off. I'm not going to count it off, but I'm going to look at the clock and just give you guys 10 seconds to let that soak in. So, yeah, starting now. Okay, I think that was about 10 seconds. So yeah, and like the cool thing is, well, B, I saw you flip to a page. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go ahead and?
Yeah, so I feel like the term rich, people always associate it with other negative words, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people,
or something.
Yeah, and a lot of people always say that, you know, people who aren't rich look at people who are rich and they say, oh, even though they're rich, they're not happy because money can't buy happiness.
Oh, yeah. I think I've said that before.
Oh, I'd much rather be close to my family and be with my friends rather than be rich and not be all those things. But she says in the book, why is it that it's an either-or situation? Why can't it be both? You know? And she puts in a section in one of the chapters, and she says, she puts in, money can't buy happiness. And she replies back with, what makes me happy? And she puts down a few things that makes her happy, and her follow-up question is, does having money help me achieve any of these happy things? Yes. So instead of saying money can't buy happiness, she rephrased that and put money supports my happiness.
I like that. See, it's all these negative connotations that have been attached to money. Mm-hmm. And especially women who strive for it. It's like, oh, why do you need it? You know, your husband will bring it. Or why do you need it, you know? Women don't need to work, they're mothers. And maybe it's rooted in, and I'm kind of touching on the gender roles. The book isn't necessarily gender specific. I mean, at least so far it's not. It's not necessarily geared towards women or men. But being that we are a women's advocacy club and we like to debunk myths and we like to dismantle stereotypes, I think this is much more of a challenge for women than men.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean,
yeah.
I grew up, like, till this day, I have a problem with carrying cash with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel comfortable with money. And I don't know what it is. I need to do some of, she has a lot of activities in her book, which I recommend you guys do, and I recommend myself to do, which I haven't had a chance. Yeah. But it literally tells you, like, what's your relationship with money? Because if you're not friends with money and you're afraid of it, or you think that,
or you resent it,
then you're not going to want to seek it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people kind of connect their negative life experiences or problems to money. And she debunks the phrase, money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, our world is full of unspeakable horrors and injustices. But the wrongdoing is caused by the, how do you say this word? Perpetrators, not the money. So she's basically saying, money is just currency. It's a paper. It's something we use to exchange for goods and services. Money's not the problem. It's the people and what they're choosing to do with it or how they're choosing to look at it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And kind of going off what you're saying, on page 38, it talks about words and the impact that they have on reality. This is crazy, you guys, because my dissertation, which focused on discrimination against specifically Armenian American women and singleism, for your dissertation, when you're in your doctorate of psychology, specifically for couples and family therapy, you have to pick a theory in which you address and talk about the issue that's not talked about in research. And so that was the issue that I felt like needed attention, which is why I wrote my dissertation on that. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because you have to pick a theory. And the theory that I picked to approach this problem in order to dismantle it and to give hope to those that are experiencing the stigma of being single was called, or is called, collaborative language therapy. And it's so crazy how collaborative language therapy talks about how there's power in words, mm-hmm. and that words make reality. And so my point is, this book talks about that very same thing. I mean, it doesn't talk about the theory, but just so you guys know, there's an actual theory and philosophy in therapy that talks about the power of words. And so she says, I'll read to you guys what it says on page 38. It says, words bring our thoughts and beliefs to life and help anchor them into our realities through repetition. So in other words, if we just sit there and just say, you know, my memory is crap, which is the example she gave. If you keep repeating that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right. So you start believing it, right? Mm-hmm. You keep telling yourself that, you start acting that way, behaving that way, believing that, and that's what the universe gives back to you, right? Yeah. But if you were to, and she even admits that she's done that several times, and she's like, if only I had known the power of words.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, like, what do you think of that, Bianca?
I definitely agree with that. She, in one of the chapters, she does say what you put in the universe is what the universe gives back to you. So I definitely think the mindset, the actions, the words, the beliefs that you put out is what comes back. And if you are constantly saying things about yourself in a negative way, even if you're not realizing it, then that's what it's going to be, you know? She even gives an example of if she were to say, oh, I really want to go on a vacation this summer, but I can't afford it. So the universe takes that as in, okay, so you can't afford it, cool. You won't go on vacation this year, you'll step back.
Yeah, or the universe might say, like, okay, for some reason you're gonna get less hours at work. Yeah. You're attracting negative things that are gonna make that thought and those words true.
Yeah. But if you say, oh, I really wanna take a vacation this summer, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to save money for it, then the universe is gonna give you
opportunities. Or you're going to find money in places you didn't even remember, or you might get, you know,
She also goes into a section which I really, really like that she put this in there. She says, whether you believe in God or higher power or anything, it's important to know that something does exist, whether it's God or the universe or, you know, it's good to admit that something like that does exist, where what you're putting out is what it's going to give you back.
Yeah, there's definitely a law of attraction.
For sure.
It is what I'm getting from what you're saying and what I think she's also trying to get her readers to understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, she even says in one of, because like throughout the book, just FYI, if you guys haven't gotten the book yet, which we totally recommend. But not to put on your shelf, to actually read it. We have notes written in it. You might want to do that too. But throughout the book, she has like segments where she'll just put like a mantra.
Yeah.
Like it's just like a summary of what that paragraph or the couple pages are. And so underneath the fact that she talks about words become reality, she says what comes out of your mouth comes into your life. I thought that was pretty, like,
yeah, I really like that.
It's trying to, like, almost say to us, like, again, going back to what you said when we first started the podcast, wake up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're blindly living your life, don't be surprised if things are happening or are not happening the way you want. But if you live more alert and awake and mindfully, then you can control and maneuver life like a ship in the water. Like, I think she's trying to empower the readers to think they have more power when it comes to them and the relationship with money than they think.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. You know?
She also says that, you know, it's not just about being comfortable or just having a steady income coming in. She does say that you should be doing what you like, not just something that brings in money every month, you know? And she says that you were pretty much put on this universe to give back to the universe your talents. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And she says that she has on page 9, part of the introduction, she says, you just have to be willing to do what it takes, and here's what it takes. Agreeing to get really, really, really uncomfortable over and over again. Fear and excitement are two sides of the same coin, and that is precisely the kind of discomfort I'm talking about.
Mm.
So she's saying, in order to be in that position that you dream of being with money and life, you need to step out of your comfort.
Yeah,
you need to take risks.
She said something, I don't know exactly what page it is, you guys, but she said something like, don't sit in your room with wallpapers of excuses.
Yeah.
Or something, like, metaphorically mm-hmm. speaking, but, like, she was saying, like, if you stay comfortable, then it's like staying in a room with wallpaper and just staring at it, and basically you're never gonna change.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, do I have wallpaper in my room? And I'm like, oh my god, thank god I don't, but I do think I stare at the wall. In other words, it's time to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, and she even says, which I think this is my favorite quote out of the entire few chapters I've read. She says, we all have seeds of unthinkable badassery inside of us, yet only some of us will allow ourselves to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right next to that quote, I put the word me, because I relate to
that. And she underlined it, you guys, in pink, just so you know.
I can definitely relate to that, because the way I look at it is that everyone is born to be successful. Everyone has that successful seed in them.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just a matter of you waking up and saying, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to change something. I want to get the house of my dreams. I want that car. I want that job. I want to make 6 figures a month. I want to make 6 figures a month and live in an apartment. You know, everyone has different dreams, but it's just a matter of waking up and realizing that you're worthy of getting that life, regardless of what your past life was or
what you grew up in.
Experiences put you in. Doesn't mean that this is the life you're going to continue to have.
Yeah. And I think, like, as we're coming to a close, like, again, the book, we're not completely done. We just wanted to give you guys an idea of what we kind of dipped into, basically, and, like, what notes we gathered. And you wouldn't believe, like, we have been dying to talk about this book with each other, like, this whole week. And we just kept saying, nope, nope, you know, like, hold back so we can, you know, share with our listeners so that, you know, everybody can be on the loop of our authentic, you know, genuine feelings and thoughts about the book. But I mean, before I bring it to a close, was there anything else that you wanted to add or say, Bianca?
I guess just to close it off, I think a lot of people have this idea that the reason they're not rich is because they lack the opportunities, or because it's because of other people, or it's because of the job they're in, or it's because of the life choices that they've been handed.
Like, do you feel like you're saying, like, they blame?
Yeah, like, a lot of people use that as an excuse as to, like,
guilty!
And my whole thing is, the only reason you're not rich or successful is because you're not giving yourself the permission to be rich.
Yeah.
You know, it all starts with you. You can't keep using excuses or blame other people. The only thing stopping you from getting there is yourself.
You guys, I'm convinced Bianca's really rich, and we just don't know it. Because she talks with the mindset of a badass. Can I, like, wow.
Well,
like,
I
she
mean. I feel like I already am in the mindset of what she's talking about, which is why I agree with it so much. It's because even though I might not be in that position right now, I know that because this is the way I'm thinking now, that I'm definitely going to be successful in the future, no question.
Yeah.
You know?
But please don't email us asking us updates on our yearly gross income. That is pushing it just a tad bit. But we will, I don't know, we'll let you guys know how it's going.
But no, seriously, the first step is putting yourself in this mindset, regardless if you live in a mansion with your parents already or if you live in a ditch on Sunset.
And you know what? Actually, since we are coming to a close, the last thing that I wanted to add is the author, Jen, is really, like, the reason why we're saying, like, this is one of those, you know, whack books that you need to add to your, you know, bucket list of readings.
And whack as in Women's Advocacy Club.
Yes.
W-A-C-K.
The reason why is because she, throughout the book, explains why she got to the mentality she got to. And she also is so real to explain her moments of poverty and low income and struggles. And it just makes you want to be more honest with yourself when you see an author be so honest with billions and millions of people who are reading basically what sounds like an autobiography.
Yeah,
it's just geared towards money.
Yeah, and she even says that, you know, she might be making a lot of money now, but when she was in her 40s, she was still living in an apartment with four roommates.
Four or three, and then, like, all her different rooms were, like,
connected.
She was like, where I go to the bathroom is where I make eggs, or I go, it was just, like, I was laughing out loud some of the times, and, like, people would just look at me, but, so stay tuned, you will hear from us again, and we will fill you in on, the rest of the book and how far we get to it. But yeah, this is really fun. We're gonna post this, but you guys are welcome to like us on our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram or Twitter. We appreciate your support in any way possible. Again, we're at Women's Advocacy Club, and yeah, just stay tuned. We have a lot coming up. And anything else? That's it. All right. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Okay. We'll be back next Sunday. Bye.